Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to The Favorites, the podcast presented by Bet365. We are part of the Action Network. I am Chad Millman, Chief Content Officer of the Action Network. As always, I am joined by my co-host, my companion, my compadre, my BFF professional bettor, Simon Hunter. I'm not even wasting time by giving Simon his proper due. This weekend, we have one of the greatest spectacles in sports entertainment, WrestleMania 40. I mentioned on the show earlier this week, I'm going to WrestleMania in Philly this weekend. Today, very special guest, one of the most recognizable and popular figures in the history of professional wrestling, one of wrestling's true work horses, the visionary, the revolutionary, Seth freaking Rollins. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, what's up, man? Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here. Great introduction, by the way. I appreciate that, man. It makes me feel good, you know? Pump me up a little bit before you tear me down. I dig that.
We will not be doing any tearing down today. As a reminder, the Favorites podcast is presented by North Carolina's newest sportsbook, Bet365. Bet365 doesn't do ordinary. That's why you get more boosts with them than with anyone else. Every day, they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. Bet365 boosts specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. Keep an eye out for their biggest and best odds with the incredible Super Boost. Check out the boost and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 21 or older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, North Carolina, New Jersey, Ohio, Virginia, or 18 and older in Kentucky. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms, conditions, restrictions apply. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. We're going to get into WrestleMania. We're going to get into your career. We're going to get into your Bears fandom. There's a lot to unpack in this show. First of all, last night in Brooklyn, Monday Night Raw, That was a brutal ending with The Rock whipping your back repeatedly. How you feeling right now?
I mean, as frank as I can be, I feel like crap. I feel like I got hit by a car, you know? Look, I'll be honest with you. The plan didn't come together as I thought it might. I didn't account for Roman Reigns. Truly believed that he was not going to be around there at the end of the night, as is his customary overture. He does his business and leaves, and I figured that would be what we were getting on Monday, and I thought we'd be able to wrap The Rock kind of in the middle of the ring there and take care of him, get a little piece of him. We got a little piece of him. You know, Roman was a step ahead. I'll give credit where it's due. But WrestleMania is a few days away, so we got to be better. We got 5 days or 4 days now. We got to come up with something better, and we will come up with something better. But, yeah, I'm feeling it, man. I mean, you can see it on my face. I got kicked right in the mouth, right in the cheek. I got welts all over my body underneath this little vest here. I got it all. So it's not exactly the way I wanted to end the night on Monday, but, you know, more motivation, a bigger chip on my shoulder. So on to Philly. Let's go.
What happens over the next few days? You say you got to start planning for something bigger and better when you get into WrestleMania. So what happens over the next few days as you both recover and then try to figure out what the game plan is going to be?
Yeah, that's it. You gotta physically recover, obviously, from the beating you took on Monday. And then mentally, you got to come up with a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, because these guys, you know, make no mistake about it, Rock and Roman, they're not dumb. They are where they're at in our industry for a reason, and they're going to come with backup plans on backup plans. And so you got to have contingencies yourself. So it's just about putting something together, a game plan together, you know, that's better than the other teams, and then executing when the time comes. And that's truly where we're at. And I pride myself, you know, I'm an architect, I'm a visionary. I see a lot of things before they happen. And I'm excited to see what Saturday brings. And then hopefully on to Sunday, it's a fair fight for Cody and, and he can take that title off of Roman. I can defend my title against Drew, and we all live happily ever after.
So yeah, you mentioned it's an action-packed weekend. You're on both nights. You and Cody against The Rock and Roman Reigns on Saturday. You're defending your championship on Sunday. Simon, professional bettor. Let's ask Seth what he thinks about the current situation with the odds.
Yes, I'm going to ask you about how does it feel to be a big underdog in this? It really is looking like a David versus Goliath. Does it feel that way? Or are you just one of those where you say to yourself, this is my life I'm dealing with here. I don't care what the odds are. I'm playing for it anyway.
Dude, if you asked me at any point in my career, have I ever been the odds on favorite? I would tell you absolutely not. I've been the underdog from day one, man. I grew up in Buffalo, Iowa, in a small town of less than 1,000 people. The odds that we're even sitting here having this conversation about me main eventing the biggest WrestleMania of all time. I'm not The Rock. I'm not Roman. I'm not even Cody Rhodes. I don't have a last name to fall back on. I don't have any of these ins. I had to work my way from absolutely nothing to getting to this point. And so I have never cared that the odds were against me. As a matter of fact, knowing the odds were against me, having that extra chip on my shoulder is always what's made me who I am. And so in some ways, I operate best when I'm backed against the wall, when it's 1,000 to 1, you know? This WrestleMania is no different. We're here. Nobody on planet Earth thought I'd be in the ring with The Rock at WrestleMania 40, but here we are. Now I got a chance to do something that nobody's ever done and pin these guys in night one and win the title, keep my title on night two and make history.
Plenty of golfers bet on themselves. I was wondering, are you going to bet on yourself? I know you're already betting on yourself in life. You have a paycheck. It all worked out. Is it always a thing people talk about or not really?
And that's interesting. You know, obviously our game's a little bit different than the PGA, but I think it's like, I'm not even a luck person, but I think it's like some bad juju, you know? I think it's like,
true.
I think it's a weird thing to be putting money down on yourself. You know, I dig that confidence. I dig that confidence. And maybe for some people that helps them take their play to the next level, knowing that there's some extra cash involved or an extra part of the bottom line if they are able to push through. But for me, I never needed that motivation, man. All I needed was a doubt. I need people to doubt me, and that's what makes me better.
So your entrances are fantastic, and your clothes are fantastic. What is your annual clothing budget just for getting ready for your entrances?
Man, what's my annual budget? We're probably talking upwards of 6 figures on the budget for that. I don't know exact numbers because I don't really put a cap on fashion. It's a very important part of what I do. And so I don't have like a lid. I go, look, you know, we'll manage it. We'll figure it out. I'm a smart enough guy to know what's worth it or not. But I'm always about pushing the envelope. So let's see how far we can take it. But annual probably pushing 6 figures. Yeah.
And when you're walking in, you know, you just said, you're from a tiny town in Iowa, 1,000 people. You're walking in to WrestleMania. You're walking into these huge events. I don't know how many people are going to be at the link on Saturday and Sunday night, probably 70,000 people.
Yep.
What does it feel like when you're walking in? Like, what are you seeing in your mind's eye as you're walking out of the tunnel and getting ready to perform?
Man, when you walk out the curtain and you step onto the stage, for me over the years, that's as soon as I get through and I'm there and I'm in the center of it, it's almost like an eye of the hurricane type situation for me. The biggest hurdle and the hardest part for me is getting to that moment. If you can get to that moment, then it's just what I've done for years, what I do nightly. Right? It's just get out there, do your job, perform, and make magic. And so I've been so accustomed to doing that for so long that now once I'm in that space, once I'm in that little circle, man, it's just like a piece and everything's buzzing around me and there's chaos here and up there and everywhere but where I'm at. That's like my Zen garden, man. It's an awesome place to be. You know, and it wasn't always that way in the beginning. There were a lot of butterflies, a lot of nerves. But now, man, I feel safe. I feel safe there. I feel like nobody's more equipped to do this than me, not anybody in the entire world. And so, yeah, it might not be the answer people expect, but there's a certain level of peace that comes over me when I finally step out there and I'm one with that audience.
Can you see fans? Like, I envision that being so chaotic. Like, there's so much noise. It's a wall of noise, right? And you're going in and you're going to have to perform and all eyes are on you. Can you see individual faces? Can you hear individual voices, or is it all a blur?
Most of it's a blur. Like, most of it all bleeds together. Occasionally there's like these special situations where you make this eye contact with somebody in the crowd. You know, maybe it's a kid or somebody. You can just feel that this moment means as much to them as it does to you. And there's this connection that you have between the two of you. And then it's just you two, you know, then the rest of the room goes away. And there's this moment where anything that comes out of their mouth, I can see, whatever's on their face, I can read. And that's the special thing about what we do in WWE. This connection we have with our audience is unlike anything in the world. It's not like the stage. And it's not like, you know, the Super Bowl. It's a different dynamic. It's all of it rolled into one. And the biggest thing, the biggest separator, is that interconnectedness that we have with our audience. And it's on display, like, through the roof when it comes to WrestleMania, because everybody's emotions are heightened. You know, everybody's there to feel something. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to share that experience, you know, in mass, but also individually with some people.
All right. So you're in Philly. Simon is a huge Eagles fan.
Mm.
I am, unfortunately, a huge Bears fan. You are a huge Bears fan. Were you pro trading for Justin Fields? Were you anti trading for Justin Fields? I know the answer, but I want you to explain it.
I would have liked to have kept Justin Fields. I personally was a Justin Fields guy. I love the progress that he made. I love the relationship that he built with the city and with the team. And if you watched his progress over the years, I would have liked to continue to stick with him and Getsy, for what it's worth. I think when you get a coordinator and a QB in the same system and that comfortability over the years, that's when you really start to see these guys take the next steps. And we start to change things up, it becomes difficult, you know? And so I think the team's ceiling this year is higher if you have Justin Fields on the squad. And that's not taking anything away from Caleb Williams, but bottom line, and he's the presumed number one pick, bottom line, a rookie is a rookie. And yes, you look at CJ Stroud and you say, oh, if we could land that, then, you know, we're in a special place. But man, that's not the rule, right? That's the exception. There is a learning curve for rookies, no matter how good they are in college, when they come to the NFL. And so I think, you know, I hope we're not looking at a situation where we take a step back and then you end up letting go of your head coach and you start making changes again. And now basically you're in the same cycle, right? And so I was a fan of keeping Justin, but I also understand the current regime and what they felt they needed to do. And if you're looking at a prospect that you think is a generational prospect, and you have to do that for the future of your organization, and you've got the kind of the wheels in motion, I understand that. I totally understand the decision, but I personally love Justin. I wish we would have kept him around for at least a couple more years to see out this contract and see what kind of progression we could have made in that division.
Are you still attached to him though? Are you still going to be cheering for him for Pittsburgh, where you're like, you know what, I'm going to love this guy Williams, but in the back of your mind, you're going to kind of be staring at Field. Really?
Well, there's no reason. Look, he's not in my division anymore. You know, if we get to February and somehow we're competing in the Super Bowl, you know, then it's a different story. Then I'm saying take him out. But for now, he's, you know, he's over in the AFC. He's competing right now with Russell Wilson for a starting job in Pittsburgh, which it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm rooting for his success wherever he lands. And if he lands in Pittsburgh, I hope he does great. I hope he knocks everybody's socks off in that division. Another tough division, AFC North, is stacked too. So it's going to be difficult for the Steelers to find their footing. But yeah, I'm rooting for him, man. I hope he does great things.
You're broken just like Chad's broken. All Bears fans are broken. The fact that you guys love Justin Fields this much, where he literally came and did nothing for you guys for about 3 years. And it's just an excuse. We're like, well, the GM didn't give him the pieces, or the coach didn't do this with him. You guys are the nicest fan base. I can't wait to see how much you're going to love Williams, just because he'll win you guys 9 games and you're going to be like, oh my God, we've won 9 games. I can't believe he won 9 games. Where Justin Fields in 3 years, he won what, Chad? 6 games? Like, I love how much you both love and miss Justin Fields. You guys are both hilarious.
Wait a minute. You're talking about my quarterback and the pieces around him. You look at your quarterback, Jalen Hurts, who's supposed to be like got paid out the wazoo. And what has that guy done for your team? And I'm not taking anything away. These are talented guys. These guys are way better than I am, and I don't want to knock them at all. But you look at the Eagles organization. You look at the pieces that were put around Jalen Hurts to help him succeed. And the team did well. They did really well in that organization. You look at Chicago and what kind of dump they were coming out of when the new regime came in and when Poles came in. I mean, it takes some time to get to that spot. They're not going to go from 3-14 to a playoff team overnight, even though they almost did this season. And so you give them that another year to continue to progress and build on what the regime's putting behind them. I'm not saying Justin Fields is Pat Mahomes by any stretch of the imagination, but he's certainly a starting quarterback in the NFL. And if you put the right pieces around him and stay consistent, he's a guy that can make plays that other people can't make, and certainly a guy that can take this team to the playoffs. And then once you get to January, anything can happen. So don't be knocking Justin Fields like we thought he was going to be the savior. It takes a lot of guys and a good system to make a franchise successful for a long time.
Rollins, Simon.
I will say that is fair, but you dive into the numbers, and I think Bears fans will quickly realize that Justin was never going to be this guy. He did wilt in the fourth quarter in a lot of games for you guys where you don't think back to it. But the thing in the NFL, me and Chad talk about the time, there are legit 10 really good guys, right? There's 32 quarterbacks. On any given year, there are 10 guys who are like, you know what? Those 10 are really legit. And you want one of those unicorns. That's the goal. And not saying Justin Fields cannot be that unicorn. He might not be in that unicorn. But that's my whole thing with the Williams thing, where I think you're going to quickly realize, seeing when he plays for you, how different he is. Justin Fields does have upside. Williams' upside is so insane that's why I'm so excited for Bears fans. Like, if you get a unicorn, Your next 15 years are good. Like the Jalen Hurts thing, that's the reason I have so much peace in my heart with Jalen Hurts, is he won the Super Bowl against Spags, an incredible defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he had 4 total touchdowns and threw for 300 yards. Like, if a Bears quarterback did that, you guys would be like me. You'd be like, I don't even care our last season sucked. I love how loyal you guys are. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you guys are so loyal to Fields. You just want a great quarterback. And I just think you guys need to move on. Like, from the ex you used to love, you have a beautiful woman right in front of you coming in Williams. I think it's gonna change your guys' perspective. You're gonna forget about Fields.
I hope you're right. And I'm not a scout. I can't evaluate that kind of talent. Like, I don't have the time and I don't have the wherewithal to be able to evaluate those types of things. I see this kid play and I see his highlight reel, and he looks incredible on tape. How that translates to the NFL, you know, I don't know. You look at Fields' numbers at Ohio State, I mean, you could have made a case for him. Who knows? You know, you just never know when these guys get to the NFL. What it's a crapshoot, you know. The odds are he'll be a good quarterback, but he's got to have the right system. He's got to have the weapons around him, which I think Poles has gone out and done a really good job this offseason in adding a Keenan Allen and a Gerald Everett and DeAndre Swift. Thank you very much. And I think we're going to be in a place to have an exciting offense in Chicago. I did another interview recently. I was on Good Morning Football. I said, I guarantee Caleb Williams will be the Chicago Bears' ever first 4,000-yard passer. I guarantee it. So I got a lot of faith in the kid. I feel really good about him. Doesn't mean I can't have some love for my boy Fields. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Simon, can you name the fastest-growing ticketing app in the United States?
Game Time.
That's right. It's Game Time. I love Game Time for two reasons. First, they still sponsor this show. Second, I actually use Game Time all the time. They have amazing last-minute deals, including pro and college basketball. Speaking of which, I'm actually opening the Game Time app right now from our studios here in New York. Looky-loo! I can get in to see the streak in New York Yankees for less than $120. No matter where you live, download the Game Time app. Get out and have some fun this week. You deserve it. You can redeem code FAVORITES for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, just download the Game Time app and use code FAVORITES for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. Dude, you are in deep on the Bears. I respect that. I appreciate that. Like, you light up as a fan when you're talking about the Bears. When you're going through WrestleMania media rounds, how much more do you want to talk about the Bears than WrestleMania?
I mean, I love both, man. I mean, I love both of them. I love pro wrestling, but I spend so much time talking about wrestling. I live and breathe and eat and sleep it. It's all I do, you know, like from dawn till dusk. We don't have an off season. we're 52 weeks a year. And to be at my level, to be as successful as I am, you just have to constantly think about it and constantly process it and come up with new ideas and continue to grow. And so you're always talking about it. And, you know, my wife, Becky Lynch, she does the same gig as me. So we're always talking to each other about wrestling. So for me, anytime I get to sit down and talk football, which is my kind of second love, I suppose, you know, it's like a little treat for me. I get to just talk, it's like shooting the shit with the boys, you know, it's a good time.
2015, we'll take it back to wrestling for 1 second. 2015, you have a Mount Rushmore moment and you win the title at WrestleMania 31. Mm. This weekend, WrestleMania 40, you defeat The Rock and Roman Reigns. Which would be the greater achievement, what you did in 31 or what you could possibly do in 40?
Man, that's very interesting. I think 31 is special in its own way because you look at cashing in Money Bank contract in the main event of WrestleMania, and so surprising and so captivating, and it shaped the industry in its own way, right? We took where the industry was, we subverted expectations and pushed it in a new direction at the time. And that's really, we're looking to take down this guard that is the Bloodline that's really had a vice grip on our industry for the past few years. Now you've got The Rock back, board of director for TKO. We're ushering in a new era. Got a television deal with Netflix coming up here starting next year. Like, it's going to be a huge change and shift in our industry. And we're about to usher that in. And so it's almost tough to say in the moment which one's going to be bigger. I think when you look back in retrospect, if we're able to do what we want to do at WrestleMania 40, it'll go down as one of the most historic game-changing events in the history of our industry.
What's left to achieve for you?
Oh, man. God, you know, I don't know. Legacy is an interesting question, right? It's like, what's your legacy? What's it going to be? And I've always wanted to leave the business better than where I found it. That's always been my major goal, contribute in ways that don't just benefit me. And so I think my legacy is set in stone, and you can always add to it. But I think when it comes down to it, my goal for the future is to help the next generation, because my time's not done yet, but we're certainly closer to the end than we are to the beginning. I'd love to use the kind of latter half of my career to really help the next generation be the guys who are going to be WrestleMania, you know, main eventing WrestleMania 50, WrestleMania 60, and so on and so forth. And I think I'm in a position now where I've got so much experience over the last two decades in this industry, last 12 years with WWE traveling the world, that I can do that, that I can help these guys and girls get to the next level, help mold what the future is going to look like.
It's interesting you say that. I think there was a story in Bleacher Report earlier in the year, like in January, that talked about how you've approached some things with more humility than in the past. And have you thought a lot about, as you've gotten older in the business, bringing up that next generation?
I mean, it's always been something that I've wanted to do. You know, I've had a wrestling school for the last decade. You know, the moment that I started on the road with WWE full time, the idea to start a wrestling school in my hometown came up, and I've been at it for 10 years now. So I've always really prioritized it, but it's always been something that's kind of been on the back burner. And I think when you're on your way up, it's easy to become singularly focused, right? It's easier to only worry about yourself and what you need to do to get to the next level. But then when you get to the top, you look around and you go, well, there's not many mountains left to climb, you know, there's not many oceans left to swim. And when you've done all that and you're by yourself, you kind of wonder, like, you know, what's next? And is it worth it to kind of continue to just tread this water on your own? And I think the answer is no. And I think as you get older, you know, you start family, you know, you start to lose relatives that are older, grandparents and aunts and uncles, and you start to realize that there is a fragility, not just to your industry and to your job and your career, but to your life. And your legacy isn't really what you accomplish, but it's how people remember you and how they carry on your legacy. And I think that's really starts to hit home the older you get. And like I said, when you realize you're getting closer to the end of your career than you are to the beginning, things start to shift for you in that capacity.
All right, brother, listen, you got to heal up. You got big events coming up this weekend, WrestleMania in Philly. Seth freaking Rollins, we appreciate you coming on the Favorites podcast. Good luck this weekend, brother. Bear freaking down.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate the chats. Anytime you want to do it again, maybe after the draft, we can see where the Bears land at 1-9. And we can talk more about Caleb Williams, who's my new QB1, probably. So
huge expectations.
It was my pleasure to be here, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
As a reminder, the Favorites podcast is presented by North Carolina's newest sportsbook, Bet365. Bet365 doesn't do ordinary. That's why you get more boosts with them than with anyone else. Every day, they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. Bet365 boosts specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. Keep an eye out for their biggest and best odds with the incredible Super Boost. Check out the boost and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 21 or older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, North Carolina, New Jersey, Ohio, Virginia, or 18 and older in Kentucky. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms, conditions, restrictions apply. Be sure to catch our next episode of The Favorites on the Action Network YouTube page this Tuesday, 1:45 p.m. Eastern. Special guest, Nate Tice of The Athletic Football Show. We love having Nate on. His show was fantastic. Download us from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods. Rate, review, subscribe. Leave us 5 stars. Say whatever you want. Feedback is a gift. Until Tuesday, love you.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.